Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is Culture of the Kingdom, session 22. We've been doing this for a good bit, trying to go through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're spending an extended time in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 because we want to understand what is the culture of the kingdom of God. We want to know what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to be written on the hearts of the church as normal Christianity. And we believe that's what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 communicates. So today's session is entitled Confronting the Sin of Worry. And I want to tell you that I believe there is great power for everybody in this room available to us if we will rightly address worry in our lives. And so I think that today is going to be very equipping if we'll let it be. So I'm going to read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It's the chunk of scripture in the Sermon on the Mount that is specifically about worry. It's Jesus talking about worry. And so I'm going to give you these verses and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I think that Jesus, understanding our weakness perfectly, you know that Jesus knows you're weak. Jesus knows what you're bad at. He knows the areas of your heart and soul where you particularly struggle, and the person next to you is awesome at that and terrible at something you're great at. The Lord knows you perfectly. He knows right where you are weak. And he knows that one of the things that is universal as a temptation for all of us is worry. Worry is a temptation, but we don't have to give into it. Worry is not a default that we all have to do and live in. Worry is a temptation of the enemy where he comes and he lies to us. And he challenges us. He challenges the character of God. He challenges your ability to hear God, your ability to love God, your ability to trust God. The enemy comes and lies and gives us this temptation to worry, to fear, to doubt, and all those different things. But it's a temptation that we can't overcome. And Jesus goes right after it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, specifically in this passage. He goes right after it and over he says, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Jesus would not tell us do not worry if it was not an option to not worry. If we were totally stuck and worry was our default and we're doomed to worry and there's no way around worry because circumstances are just so bad, we just have to worry. Jesus couldn't tell us to do something that's inevitable. So Jesus is telling us we don't have to worry. We don't have to give in to that temptation. Worry is common to us all. And I want to tell you, I think that the biggest reason that we worry is we're putting more stock in negative than we are in God's ability. But I just want to read us what the word says, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. We know the verse, but this is the antidote. This is the way out, okay? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. What happens is when we come up with worry and when we're giving into areas of worry, it's we're exalting negative. We're like thinking of the negative as bigger than God. We're looking at whatever it is that we're going to worry about, and we're saying that thing is so much bigger than God. You're like, no, I would never say that. No, that's exactly what we're saying. Because the reason that we're worrying about it is we're giving it the power and the authority of our life as opposed to trusting that God has totally got that covered. God is big enough. God is able. Again, look what it says. To him who is able to do way, way more than I could ever even think up, ever imagine, to him who is so much bigger than my circumstances, to the one who is able, to the one who is powerful, to the one who has the capacity to overcome and fill in the gaps and totally take care of and kick the tail of whatever it is that I'm up against, to him be the glory. And there's power at work within me by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit within me and my agreement with who God is, we can totally overcome whatever it is. Worry is when we say, nuh-uh, God isn't big enough. Worry is when we look at the circumstance and we say, that circumstance is somehow got the crown. It is bigger than God. And we exalt negativity. So I just want us to kind of think about that and let that bother us a little bit, because all of us are probably worried since we got up this morning. I want us to all go, wow, I was exalting negativity. I was like making it bigger than God, because that's what worry does. And Jesus says, you don't have to do that. You serve a God who is bigger, he is able, and he likes you. And this is what we've got to keep in mind. Now, in our culture, it's just so permissible to worry. And I want to tell you, worry is a sin like murder. Worry is a sin like lying or greed. Worry is not permissible. We so often think about sins only as things that we do to somebody else. But Jesus says, do not worry. If Jesus said, do not murder, that makes murder bad. If Jesus said, do not lie, that makes lying bad. Jesus said, do not worry. That makes worry bad. Worry is a sin. We live in such permission of worry. We just go, oh, well, that's just kind of how it is. It's sin like murder. It's sin like sexual immorality. Worry is not permissible. We have got to unearth the lie that worry is excusable. We have got to stop believing that worry is okay. Worry is like, you know, just everybody kind of does it. It's just kind of in the back of everybody's mind. We've got to look at that as a fight, that we've got to come up against that Goliath in our lives. Worry is sin. Now, I want us to feel the sting of that, because we're so used to, oh yeah, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. We throw it around and everybody just kind of pats each other on the back and goes, oh yeah, I understand that you're worried about that. Good, be worried. Like we encourage worry in each other. It's totally out of place. Worry, we need to be fighting worry and going, Jesus said, don't worry, like don't lust, don't murder, don't lie. We need to not worry. We need to be looking at that and going, I am not giving into that thing. I am going to fight that. I'm not going to just lay down and give into the sin of worry. What happens when we worry? We're actually operating in the kingdom of darkness. We're trying in this whole series, we're trying to paint the culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom is trust, faith, love, belief, patience. Those are the attributes of the kingdom we want to be embracing. Those are the attributes of light. The attributes of darkness are worry, fear, doubt. That's the way that the enemy operates. And I'll give you two more components here, and then we'll start to look at some of what the word says. We'll break down this worry issue. Worry, pay attention, 100% of the time. Never is there a case where this next statement is untrue. Worry 100% of the time is unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Worry never helped anyone ever since the creation of humanity. Worry is unhelpful. Why would we do unhelpful stuff on purpose? Why would we give so much space in our heads and our souls to worry? Worry is altogether unhelpful every time. We've got to stop giving permission to worry in our heart. We've got to stop saying, oh, that's okay to worry a little bit. It's okay to worry none a bit. It's not okay to worry. Not because we're dirty, rotten sinners. We'll deal with that another time. It's because it's unhelpful. It's like eating dirt. It's like it doesn't fill you up. It's not nutritious. You're going to get sick from it. It tastes horrible. Like, give me another dirt burger. Can't wait to eat it. It's my favorite. We eat worry. We digest it. It's always unhelpful. It's always unhelpful. Just think about the last time you worried and where that benefited you. Where did it benefit your soul? Where did it benefit your relationships? Where did it help you with God? Where did it help you at your job? It didn't. It ate up your time. It ate up your soul. It ate up your headspace. It ate up your emotions. Worry is a kingdom killer. We're talking about the culture of the kingdom. The sin of worry destroys the work of the kingdom of God in your life, because it takes up time and energy that was supposed to be used for something productive. You only got so much time. And if you spend even a minute a day worrying, that's a minute you're never going to get back. And it's a minute that it wasn't progressing you forward. It was deteriorating you. It's like drinking acid. I mean, you were on purpose going backwards by giving in to worry. Because worry takes up your thoughts. It takes up your mind. It makes you feel yucky. When you're worried, you're not a lot of fun. And then it impacts your relationships. When you worry, you're not as productive. When you worry, fill in the blank, one of 20 bad things. Worry is always unhelpful. It's a kingdom killer. It's debilitating. It's redirecting. So many times we're going a direction and then worry hits us. And if we don't fight that worry, we will go a different direction in submission to worry and fear instead of to the purposes of the kingdom. Worry is a kingdom killer. It destroys the kingdom of God in you. It destroys the purposes of God for your life. Worry is a response to a lie. Worry is a response to a lie. The enemy comes in and says, God can't do that. Says, you're so messed up, you'll never overcome that. This isn't going to work. This is going to be terrible. The enemy comes in and prophesies to you about how bad your future is going to be, and you believe the lie and then respond to the lie. That's a way to get off course. Worry. Jesus wasn't telling us, don't worry because it's going to be so, you know, because it's going to make you a bad person. He was saying, don't worry because it's going to get you off course. Don't worry because it's going to distract you from the truth, from the kingdom, from the purposes of the Lord. You're going to wind up in some far off place because you got there by believing lies and giving in to worry. Jesus says, do not worry. Now, let's look at the long list. I mean, that was a short little passage we read, but there's a long list of Jesus of things Jesus identifies to not worry about specifically. And he goes down the list. I just want you to start thinking in your own soul. Where am I at on this? Where am I at on that one? All right. The list of things Jesus addresses in Matthew 6 that we are not to worry about. First, do not worry about what you will eat. He says it in three different times. He says it, this is the second most pointed out issue in Matthew 6 of what not to worry about. He says, do not worry about what you'll eat or drink. Is not life more than food? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry about food. This is of the basic provisions of life. This is if you don't eat long enough, you die. And so Jesus is like, I'm going to take care of those needs, those basic needs, and specifically food. I'm going to take care of the basics of your life. Do not worry. I think so many times we get into a situation where we are freaked out of our mind. And really what's happened, if you just want to see what's happening in the spirit realm, the enemy has dispatched a demon to come and really emphasize the emotion of fear, doubt, worry, and anxiety. And the enemy comes over and some imp in the spirit comes and pokes you, and now you feel the poison of anxiety, but you feel it powerfully. Your emotions are lit up. The situation is this big, but the energy that the enemy is launching against you is this big, and you believe the this big about a situation that's this big. It happens all the time. We've got to stand up against that thing and say, no, I am not going to worry because God said don't. And that's the end of it. And then we feel it again. No, I'm not going to worry because God said don't. You know how Jesus fought the enemy when the enemy lied to him? He said, no, because the word of God says. That's how we fight the attacks of the enemy. When you start to feel worried, anxious, doubtful, whatever, fight it. No, because the word of God says. And stand on what the word says. So when it comes to the basic aspects of life, your basic needs, do not worry. Here's what happens. Our basic needs receive a challenge. Something comes up. Some bill you didn't expect. Some situation. Some you get laid off. Something happens, and immediately we start to look at that and go, I'm going to redirect course because I am worried I will not eat. And so I'm going to go make something happen for myself because I've got to take care of that situation. Now, as the Lord leads us, we go anywhere and do whatever. But carrying that worry is destructive. Instead, we go, okay, there's a bill. Here's a situation. Here's a challenge. I am not going to die. Lord, help me. I'm going to do my part, but I'm not going to worry. The difference between worrying and not worrying, your circumstances might not look any different, but your soul sure does. The soul either has the light on or the light's off. And we know what the enemy does in the darkness. You have the choice whether to switch the light on or off in your soul related to how you handle situations. You can worry. You turn the light off and you let the enemy just bounce around in there and do all sorts of havoc in what you're going to then believe about your future and about what's going to happen in your life. Or you can turn the light on and say, the Lord says, do not worry. I'm going to take steps. I'm going to ask God for help and favor. And I am not going to give in to the sin of worry. Even when things get really dark, I'm not going to. I'm going to trust that the Lord is bigger. Next, do not worry about your clothes. Now, I'll tell you this. I find it to be interesting that Jesus talked more about clothing than not worrying about anything else in Matthew chapter 6. He says it four times. Do not worry about what you will wear. It's not the body more than clothes. Do not worry saying, what shall we wear? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They did not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Over and over, this subject of clothing. Now, I think that this, in specifically, it's talking about clothes. But I think that this goes yet one step further. Beyond just our most basic need of having food and that provision, I think that this talks about just one step further and a little bit of our comfort in life. I think that that's kind of part of the message here. And that he talks about it the most. He says, worrying about clothes, like, what are we going to wear? Am I going to be well-clothed enough? Am I going to, you know, be supplied for enough? I think that one of the most natural things in our hearts is to fight for our comforts. And we are so concerned that our comforts are not going to be met. And God says, I'm a father. I like you. I'm really rich. I'm really smart and wise. I'll take care of your comforts. You don't have to fight for those comforts. I want you to trust me. Do not worry. Well, am I ever going to have anything ever happen to me again? Am I just going to have to wear this, you know, these shabby clothes? Am I ever going to be provided for and given new clothes? Am I ever going to be provided for and given new this or new that or comforts taken care of in my life? I think this speaks to comforts. He says, I want you to know, he says it four times. God knows how to clothe you. God knows how to take care of those desires, those needs in your life. Trust him and don't worry about them. Again, the difference between worrying and not worrying. In both cases, you can pray about it. In one case, however, you're succumbed by the pain and the doubt and the fear, I won't get that thing. In the other case, you refuse to be succumbed by that doubt and you trust God to take care of the need or take care of the provision. You go, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to give that a place. You in your own soul, you know yourself. You know the difference between thinking about it, praying about it, and worrying about it. You know what worry feels like in your soul. Identify it and refuse it. Nope, I'll think, I'll pray. I will not worry. It's sin. It's sin because God likes me and wants to protect me from darkness. It's sin because going down that road of worry is going to take me out of God's purposes. It's going to derail me. It's going to make me feel icky. It's going to always be unhelpful. Identify worry in your heart and refuse it and say, I'm not going to do it. Furthermore, God would not tell you to do something that there's then no power available to pull off. If he tells you don't worry, there is power for you. You're like, well, I'm just a worrier by nature. Listen, we're all a something by nature and don't have excuse to camp out there. All of us are a something by nature. We got to overcome the something. So if you're a worrier by nature, you've got to fight that worry. You've got to fight it like Goliath and go up against that thing and say, I'm not giving into this. I'm not giving in because I don't want my soul polluted. I don't want my life derailed. I don't want to give in to worry. All right, then he says, do not worry about your body. Matthew 6, 25, do not worry about your body. Beyond clothes, I think this has to do with issues of health and sickness. There's a difference between I'm sick, God heal me, and I'm sick, oh, I'm going to die, everything's horrible, I'm so worried, I'll never be able to get anything done in my life, I'm going to be stuck in this situation for the rest of my life. That's worry. Versus the other person that goes, I'm sick, help, bye. And then moves on. Like, Lord, help me. Okay, I'm going to go do my day now. The other one sits there debilitated. Oh, I'm sick. I'm stuck. I'm going to be like this forever. There's no way out. Why do we go down that drain, that toilet flush in our own souls? We're just feeling this negativity. It's like giving into it. Don't camp out there. That's a horrible way to live. You'll feel just all kinds of icky. Jesus says, don't worry about your body. Do not worry about tomorrow, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So many times we give in to worry about future things, future situations that might not even happen. What a waste of energy, okay? So think about 9 out of 10 things that you're totally worried are going to happen a week from now, a year from now. 9 of those things aren't actually even going to occur. But you gave all 10 of them the same amount of emotional worry, and now all 10 things have deteriorated you, derailed you, caused you to be not a whole lot of fun around people. You've been worried about these 10 things. 9 of them aren't even going to happen. And the enemy's like laughing at you. He's like, I got him. I got him thinking about all this stuff that's not even real. I've got them totally derailed. Their spirits are totally cluttered and poisoned because they're spending time thinking about these future terrible things that aren't even real. And Jesus says, if you'll allow me to interpret my 9 out of 10 things here, Jesus says, you don't know what 1 out of those 10 things is even going to land. So I want to encourage you, don't worry about any of the 10. Do not worry about tomorrow. We're so worried. What about this? What's going to happen in this? What if this doesn't work out? What if? Stop with the what ifs. Stop. It's painful in the soul. It's derailing. We need to be thinking about today and going, what do you want me to do today? We need to be having the perspective that the kingdom of God is now, right now around us. The opportunities to serve the Lord, to soar in our spirit. These things are around us right now. Instead of giving into, oh, I don't know, if this thing doesn't work out, well, then everybody's just going to die and it's going to be Armageddon. We're all over. I mean, we're so consumed and we so have a tendency to believe the powerfully negative future. And we have such a difficult time believing the powerfully positive future. We're so backwards. The enemy is ruling when we give in to worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen in this situation? Let me just read you the words of Jesus. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will worry about itself. You know what? Jesus is being so like coy. He's being so tongue-in-cheek there. He's like, just quit thinking about it, stupid. It's like, let tomorrow worry about itself. Days don't worry about days. She's like, exactly. I'm telling you, completely dismiss this thing. No, tomorrow. She's like, just stop. I'm in charge of tomorrow. Like I'm in charge of today. I'm in charge. Do not worry about tomorrow. I want to encourage you, if you are worried about tomorrow, stop. Take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Christ said, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about tomorrow. And if you find yourself worrying about tomorrow, or in your relationships, your friend says, I'm really worried about this thing. Instead of patting each other on the back, let's encourage each other to fight that worry like it's a demon, because it's a demon. Instead of giving into it like, oh, it's just part of my nature. I'm just a worrier. No. You have the mind of Christ. You're a new creation. You are not a worrier. A demon of worry is attacking you and you're giving into it. Stop. Tell it to quit it. Say, worry, go in Jesus' name. Clean out your minds and think on something else. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about money. You know what's really funny about this passage? The entire passage of do not worry, the Matthew 6, whatever, 24, or whatever we started, it's all jump-started by Jesus talking about money. So let me read you the verse. Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. The entire passage that follows about do not worry about this, do not worry about this, it's all jump-started by Jesus talking about money and don't worry about it. Do not worry about money. Now, there's a difference between going to your job, working hard, getting the paycheck, coming home and trying to figure out how you're going to use the money in a way that is honoring to God and takes care of your needs, and going to work, worrying you're not going to have enough, getting the paycheck, fretting about it, going back and looking at it, seeing that the budget doesn't work, crying and going, oh man, we're all going to die. There's a very big difference. In both cases, work hard. But in one case, do not worry about money. Jesus equated it to this. If you're worried about money, you're serving money and not serving God. Do you see that? It is. You'll be devoted to one or the other. You'll either be devoted to money or to God, but you can't be devoted to both. And the sin of worry comes mostly down to, if we get down to brass tacks, it's money. Because if I have enough money, I can buy my way out of the health issue. If I have enough money, I can definitely take care of the clothes and the fun. If I have enough money, I can take care of the food. I can take care of, everything comes back to money. And Jesus says, oh, I know. And I don't want you to worry about it. This is Jesus, I think, tackling the great Goliath in the heart of mankind. Do not worry about money. All of us are worried about money. The millionaires are worried about money. They're worried about how to make sure their money doesn't disappear in their investments. The people that are totally poor are worried about money. They're trying to figure out how can they increase their two pennies to four. We're always about money. Everybody in every social setting, we're all so worried about money. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. Trust me. Work hard. The principle of work hard is true all the time, everywhere. Work hard, trust God. If you die, it's a good thing. You just show up before the Lord and it's perfect timing. Trust the Lord. Instead of making our life about the pursuit of money, he says you can't pursue both money and God. Instead, work hard and trust God to allocate to you what you're supposed to have. And then even if it doesn't look like it's enough, trust God with what he allocated and trust that he's good and trust that he'll take care of you. Work hard. There ain't nobody in this church that's allowed to be lazy. Work hard. But work hard and trust God. Instead of work hard and think you're God, and the harder you work and the more you do and the more planning, that all of a sudden you're going to be able to overcome everything. No, you're not. The problems are bigger than you. There's a real devil and he is way bigger and smarter than you, unfortunately. But greater is he that's in you than he was in the world. If you will trust God, work hard, trust God, don't worry. That's what it all comes down to. Don't worry about your life. He ends in Matthew 6:25. Don't worry about your life. Trust God with your life. Trust that he's going to take care of you. I want to give you a couple of principles and we'll close out here. Worry fixes nothing. Said it before, Matthew 6:27. Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? One of the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach us about worry, we somehow think, I don't know why, because it doesn't sound, when you say it out loud, it sounds so false. But somehow in our soul, when it's just quiet in there, we believe it. Somehow we think by worrying, we're going to fix the problem. Somehow by worrying, we think that we'll like make some headway on it. We'll like change it. It's totally crazy. Jesus goes, how many hours would it take for you to fix this worrying? You hour for 100 hours? You worry for 100 hours? That doesn't change anything, except now you're just sad and you wasted 100 hours. Worrying fixes nothing ever. Next lesson, worry is actually a lack of faith. You know what Hebrews 11:6 says? It's impossible to please God without faith, right? We know that it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, Matthew 6:30, here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:30, he says, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? The sin of worry is really lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in God. The sin of worry is we're making the situation bigger than him. We're denying God his ability to do it, his capacity to overcome it, the nature of his heart to be kind to us. We have a lack of faith. And Jesus pointed out, he says, don't worry about this stuff. You of little faith, God sees you. God knows you. God likes you. Trust in God instead of in your problem. We put more trust in our problems than we do in God. Don't trust in your problem. Trust in God. Worrying is like living like a lost person. He says this, Matthew 6:32, the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans, the lost people, the people that are godless, that don't have God. People that don't have God can't trust in God to take care of their stuff. You have God. You're not a lost person. And if you are, give your life to Jesus before you leave today. Everything's great. It's real simple. Jesus, I love you. Help me. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm a mess. I need you. Amen. You're done. And then just live for him for the rest of your life. It's awesome. We'll help you. You're not a lost person. You don't have to live like somebody that doesn't have God. You don't have to play by their rules anymore. Okay? You don't have to live like them. You can walk according to the Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. And this is what the Word says. Jesus says, the lost people, they pretend like all the worry and the problems are real. You don't have to be like them. You have God. When we worry, we're acting like we don't have God. Don't do that. God's promise to us if we'll live outside of worry. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's a promise. It's Jesus teaching us about the opposite of worry. It's trust. It's living for Jesus, giving ourselves to Jesus, trusting Jesus. Think about this. Think about a soldier in an army, okay? He's not having to worry about when he eats or whatever. All he has to do is just fight the war. He knows his commanding officer will feed him when it's time, take care of him when it's time, help him dig the foxhole when it's time. Just do the job. Run after Jesus. Love him with all your heart. Serve him with all you got. Seek first the kingdom and then trust that the commanding officer, who's way smarter than whatever doofus commanding officer you were just imagining in the little war parable, this guy is really smart. He'll take care of you. He'll give you what you need. Don't worry. Seek God. Don't worry. Run after Jesus. And then trust that God will give you all the stuff that you were worried about. You don't have to worry about that. God will take care of those things. And it all comes out of Matthew 6:26, I believe. His promises are all about your value to him. Matthew 6:26, are you not much more valuable than they? This is how Jesus backs up all his do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. He says, don't you understand you have value to your heavenly Father? You have value to God. He likes you. You are valuable. He takes care of valuable stuff. You're part of his stuff. He says, you're more valuable than a bird or a lily or whatever. You're more valuable. You have great dignity and value before God. You can trust that God will take care of your needs because God thinks you're valuable. Even if you don't think you're valuable, he does. You have great value to God. Therefore, you can trust in his ability to take care of you. We have to respond rightly. Listen, I want us to leave here today recognizing that the way to worry is fear. And what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God did not give you a spirit of fear. So when you feel fear, I'm not saying you're not feeling fear. I'm saying that's not the Spirit of the Lord. When you feel fear, you got to tell that fear to go away because that's not a spirit God gave you. God didn't give you fear, and that's what provokes worry. We're fearful that we won't get the thing, that life won't look that good, that the pain won't ever go away, that the situation will never resolve. We're fearful, and God says, I didn't give you that fear. You picked up a spirit that's not me. Tell it to go in Jesus' name. Do not give in to fear because that's what the issue is. Instead, Psalm 31 Verse 6 through 7, I trust in the Lord. I'll be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. God knows you. He sees your pain. He sees your anguish. He sees you've got problems. You got jacked up issues. He knows. He sees them. Trust in him to pastor you through those issues. Trust in him to provide for you through those issues. Instead of worrying that he won't, or worrying you're not good enough, or worrying, 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 I tell you the truth, do not worry.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.